Twice a month, the Mat-Su School Board meets to discuss any and everything that affects local schools.
I call this regular meeting of the Matanuska-Susitna Borough School District to order.
This is In Summary with Emily Forstner.
I'm Emily Forstner with the In Summary broadcast for the Mat-Su School Board meeting on Wednesday, March 22nd. This week's meeting was like a slow spring breakup in ways. It was a patchwork of clear pavement, icy patches, and a few remaining snowdrifts. During the superintendent report, Superintendent Dr. Traney replayed much of what the previous school board had learned over the past 2 years. The hard truth that even though the district is performing the best in the state in many areas, Alaska as a whole is performing nationally near the bottom in math and dead last in reading. Not even Mississippi is lower performing. Mississippi scores aren't just better, they're improving over time.
I never thought when I started teaching 33 years ago that I would say that Alaska needs to be more like Mississippi, but we do. So the red line is Mississippi up through 2020, and the blue line is Alaska up through 2020 on the NAEP. And this is fourth grade reading. And you can see that something has happened in Alaska and something opposite has happened in Mississippi.
Using Mississippi and researcher John Hattie as references, Dr. Traney explained to the board the steps the district has taken to rise above the fray and succeed. Required advanced placement coursework, increased access to career and technical education courses, the flex period called 4Cs, and professional learning communities, or PLCs, held during the late start Mondays.
PLCs and instructional coaching. This was one of the things that Mississippi mandated from the state level for all of their schools that made this just change dramatically.
He told the board that there is real evidence of improvement.
And it's a culture of collaboration. This is the biggest part of getting teachers to talk about student achievement on a daily basis.
Dr. Traney mentioned Swanson Elementary, Colony Middle School, and in particular, Wasilla High.
Wasilla High School, I already highlighted this. They had a 6% F rate and a 1% suspension rate. Lowest, the best passing rate they've ever had and lowest discipline rate they've ever had. And they attribute this to the same thing.
Mississippi's success and the Mat-Su's, he said, hinged on professional learning communities.
It's a huge lift. We're trying to change a bunch, 1,400 adults' behavior at least. It's not a program. It's a process. It's teaching them a new way to think about teaching. There's been lots of evidence that PLCs work. And are we perfect at PLCs? No way, not even close. That's why we need more PD.
Which is why the district requested, as a first reading, $880,000 for every instructional staff member to attend a two-day education conference on PLCs in Anchorage, presented by Solution Tree. This will be in November.
We need to move the needle quickly because each kid only gets to be a third grader once and a fourth grader once, and so there's this sense of urgency that I always have of how to be better. So this is the cheapest way to do it. So why Anchorage? Because, you know, this word has gotten out, obviously, when we made the calendar that there was going to be this thing. Well, why is there going to be why in Anchorage? Well, it would be 2 days in Anchorage and 1 day here. There's simply no facility with breakout rooms anywhere in Mat-Su that could possibly have 1,400 teachers in it. Like,
overall, the board had few questions about the conference. Member Ole Larson threw in his support. He said he'd been around a while, and every board had talked about improving student learning, and nothing had changed. He thought this time it just might.
I'm not saying this is a magic pill. Time will tell. But it is at least, in my opinion, a start in the right direction to get all the teachers together to teach the same kind of curriculum and standards.
Member Kathy McCullum was sensitive to public comments, not about the conference as much as about the Monday late starts overall. Monday late starts are called PLC Mondays and they start an hour later for students for teachers to collectively work together.
Just because of the pushback we've had, like from community on Monday mornings, and even I've heard from a lot of teachers that Monday mornings are really difficult because it sets off the week in a different kind of routine. Have we looked at different days or a different schedule of any kind that could possibly work for something like that?
And this is where all the pieces begin to pull together, because Mrs. McCullum's concern might be solved since buses are on the road again. The Durham Teamster 959 strike ended on Friday, March 3rd. Full bus service is now provided for schools in the Big Lake area, including Meadow Lakes and Houston High and Houston Junior Middle School. The Connect Goose Bay area, including Reddington Junior Senior High and Denina Elementary, and the outlying elementaries of Butte and Sutton. But if full service across the district is more and more likely, lessons learned from the strike might mean bus service next year could look completely different, making PLC Mondays more palatable for families.
When we're looking at busing next year and maybe changing routes in general, one idea is that we open schools early and keep schools open later. This could also impact it. So everything's on the table. We will do we've been doing surveys with staff all year, and we're going to continue to, and we will at the end with parents.
Member Jacob Butcher wondered if PLC Mondays were being used the way they were intended. Dr. Traney said that district administration were represented in 40 of the schools weekly, and while they weren't exactly spies,
we have about 40 staff members here at the district office that are deployed every single Monday, and they go to different schools. It's, you know, it's the spy program, so we've just kind of adopted it. It's not a spy program, but it is a fidelity program.
They did create a reliable sense of accountability for the protection of PLC time that is needed for collective teacher efficacy and student achievement.
This time is sacred.
Dr. Traney pointed to several metrics that showed movement toward his absurd aspiration to be not only the best in the state, but the best in the nation.
Since then, and with varying degrees at different schools, they have really dug into K-5 essential standards in math and reading. The math common assessments we already talked about at the high school level, they've taken on Algebra 1. I think they're on to Algebra 2 now, and this is district-wide, not school-wide.
Which might be why Dr. Traney was so upset with the new School Success Profile Index score. This score is produced through DEED, the Department of Education and Early Development. It categorizes schools as failing, at risk, successful. It's tied to funding, but it's also tied to reputation.
And they use the school profile index score as an example of why certain school districts were being put into this category, and I started tearing my hair out because it's a flawed metric.
Dr. Traney said the devil was in the details. He demonstrated how the index score is ranked on several criteria, including proficiency in math and reading, absences, the number of ELL students served. The breakdown in categories all add up to 100%. And therein lies the problem.
They got a low index score, so they're going to get extra support in READS Act. I'm like, but wait a minute, this is crazy. Guess what schools have? Man, I can feel my soapbox coming on. Like, this really bothers me, this whole thing. It has to be changed, or it's just a meaningless number. It's meaningless right now.
So in other words, since Anchorage, for instance, has more ELL students than the MAT-SU, the percentage for that particular category is more than it is for the MAT-SU. So to equal 100%, the other categories of English and math proficiency have less value given to Anchorage. So it all adds up to 100%. And in the MAT-SU, more weight is given to those categories since the ELL category has a lower percentage. So that means, even though the MAT-SU outperforms Anchorage School District in both math and English, the profile index score is far lower than Anchorage. And in the end, that could influence funding.
So I'm going to keep working on like trying to get people's attention at Deed, who were very responsive. They saw the problem, but now we just need it fixed.
A history teacher once told me, follow the money. And money remained the topic during the legislative report. District lobbyist Ben Moore reported that the base student allotment, or BSA, increase got some traction in the House this time, but far less than hoped for. The House is moving toward an increase of $800 over the course of 2 years, while the Senate is moving toward an increase of $1,345 over 2 years. If the Senate's proposal wins over the House, then the district is in the black. If the House's proposal wins, well, it's better than nothing, but it still leaves the district in the hole. A large hole, actually. And much of the money needed for school hangs on not on the price of education, but on the price of oil and the size of the PFD. The dividend dictates how much money goes into the general fund. The House members seem to be moving toward a 50-50 split, while the Senate...
At the same time, the Senate is looking at a 75-25 split, which would be, you know, roughly $1,300 to $1,600 in a dividend to each Alaskan. A 25-75 split based on POMV would actually cover the budget and allow us to cover the budget into the future without going into savings.
The amount in the PFD dictates the amount left in the state budget. How much?
Each $100 in the PFD translates to about $70 million in the budget.
And for now, it's very much like a messy, muddy spring breakup until the school district knows more from the legislature in Juneau. But that unknown doesn't stop the budget process in the MATSU. The district is in the final phase for the FY24 budget proposal. It goes before the Borough Assembly during the Joint Assembly and School Board meeting next week. Later in April, the borough sets the local contribution amount. Deputy Superintendent of Business Katie Gardner told the board that the $254 million budget is designed around a 6.3 mill rate local contribution from the borough and just a modest increase in the BSA.
We did not make any assumptions about changes in expenditures and or revenue other than what was guaranteed.
Last year, Mrs. Gardner said, the district asked for a smaller mill rate but adjusted for inflation. She said if the same formula was used this year, the district would stand to gain far more money than usual. So,
knowing that property taxes are increasing and that the borough will likely have an interest in trying to mitigate that, understandably, we felt that the 6.3 mills ask was the more appropriate ask. It's also what brought us to a balanced budget and seemed an appropriate request.
Member Ole Larson wanted it clarified that even though the local contribution might mean it looks like more money than last year, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a windfall for the district. Even though the district might be receiving $7 million more from the request, the state will deduct $6 million from that.
Administration is recommending that the board approve is an increase in $7 million.
$7 million. How much does the state then decrease? How much will the state decrease their allotment?
The state's decrease for fiscal year 24 will be almost $6 million. It's $5.99.
So our gain will be about $1 million.
That's accurate.
One way or another, the district is required by law to submit a balanced budget to the state by June. And that's whether or not the state knows if their budget balances. In summary, Wednesday's board meeting was patched together as well as it could be, with over 90% of the budget waiting to know what contribution amounts from both borough and state they may expect. Buses, they're rolling again, and next week full service begins with the Big Lake Kinnick area and the outlying schools of Butte and Sutton Elementaries. The creators of the state's new School Success Profile Index score formula have a flawed math formula in place. they might benefit, perhaps, of enrolling in one of our district's AP statistic courses. And the district moves forward in a number of metrics, and requests are on the table for money to provide quality professional development on a very large scale to continue the momentum. And Houston High School? It opened its doors to students and staff this week. Public open house is scheduled for March 28th, just in time for springtime. Tune in on April 5th for the next regular school board meeting, live streamed right here on Big Cabbage Radio, and the In Summary Report following on Friday, April 7th. Until then, happy breakup. Stay well out there.
This has been In Summary with Emily Forstner. The Mattsu School Board meets twice a month, and streams of the full meetings are available on RadioFreePalmer.org. This piece is a production of Big Cabbage Radio. Questions about the program can be directed to manager@RadioFreePalmer.org.